This is episode 3 of my Quest for Healing podcast series. This episode is called Overcome Depression, using the 5-step process for healing, wisdom, and empowerment. My name is Phil Golding. I'm a self-awareness, meditation, mindfulness teacher, author, and podcaster. But most importantly, in regards to these Quest of Healing podcasts, I am a psychotherapist with 25 years of experience as a therapist. Before embarking on extensive studies in depth psychology and transpersonal psychology and a career as a therapist, I was on my own journey of healing my mind from chronic depression and PTSD, which I consider as my most important path of learning. I began that journey at the age of 24. That was 40 years ago, and I was free of depression by 30, but have continued an open-ended path of healing and growing as a central part of my ongoing life. In my psychotherapy practice, I specialize in treating trauma and PTSD, depression, stress and anxiety, and many other related issues. I also teach advanced level self-awareness. In all my previous podcasts, I have described the fundamental principles that awaken and guide the wonderful potential of our own conscious awareness, which is what we use to heal our minds. Here I am going to work through these principles again, but with a particular emphasis on depression, which, as I mentioned, is something that I personally suffered from as a teenager and young adult. As well as listening to this podcast, I would suggest that you listen to the first episode of this series entitled You Have What It Takes to Heal, which is the introduction to this series. Also, get into episodes 1, 4, 6 and 7 of my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series. It is essential that you understand and have some practice in how to identify and activate your conscious awareness, which is your ability to compassionately observe your mind without getting pulled into it. This is essential when it comes to learning how to heal your mind. This will help you to understand and gain the most from this episode. I don't need to remind you of how tough depression can be to break through. It is not enough to listen to these podcasts just once. When our minds are fogged up with depression, it's hard to take things in. Even at the best of times, it's not easy. It's hard to hear what is being said without our minds distorting the information. It is essential to listen to this and the other podcasts over and over again. To succeed in healing depression, you have to work this information into your mind in order to be able to start putting it into practice. This is the way to heal and grow. So let's start with the symptoms that are common to those of us who suffer depression. We can experience an all-pervading feeling of hopelessness. We are plagued with frequent negative thinking. We often experience deep feelings of emptiness. Loss of energy is very common, resulting in feeling heavy and lethargic. Loss of motivation is common. Finding no joy in life is another one. There is also a tendency towards isolation and avoidance. We often feel trapped, stuck, blocked in all directions. When suffering depression, we can be moody and irritable. Depression can also lead to substance abuse and various forms of self-harm. If severe enough, thoughts of suicide and attempts of suicide can result. In my case, I avoided life by tuning out in front of the TV for hours on end and slept excessively day and night. In my worst periods, I also seriously contemplated suicide. On the surface, the causes of depression can be varied. Most commonly, depression occurs when we are cut off from our important sources of fulfillment, and usually without being aware of it, we place a meaning on this situation that devalues ourselves. The sources of fulfillment can be different for everybody, but they all point to our need of feeling loved and worthy, and to having some sort of purpose in life. We can be cut off from those sources of fulfillment due to a change in outside circumstances, or due to being trapped in negative mental conditioning, causing us to see and approach life in a self-defeating and self-attacking ways. It is usually seen as a combination of both. Ultimately, though, it is the way we think and act in response or reaction to a set of challenging circumstances that determines how we feel about those circumstances and how constructively or unconstructively we work with them. Therefore, outside circumstances are simply triggering our self-defeating mind states, our own particular mental conditioning, in other words, which is the real cause of our depression. However, the self-defeating nature of our conditioning may not be fully revealed until we are faced with a particular challenge. The fact that it is our own mind that is the cause of our suffering actually simplifies things greatly. This means that we don't need to get caught up with trying to change the world around us, a world that is so often beyond our control. The problem is right in front of us the whole time, which also makes finding the solution so much more efficient, so long as you have a good understanding of how the mind works and how to approach it constructively, which is what we are here to learn. Occasionally, there are things we need to change around us, but we tend to struggle with this due to feeling disempowered in some way, or we get too triggered. This again points to the need to care for our own mind first. Because certain thoughts and emotions have become so painful and so ingrained into our mind, our fight-or-flight mind tries to avoid these thoughts and emotions at all cost. And therefore, we try to avoid anything in life that triggers our painful emotions. But this avoidance also keeps us stuck, due to believing we are powerless over our mind states and challenging circumstances. If we can't avoid challenging circumstances that are triggering those self-defeating mind states, then we may start to break down. And depression and even thoughts of suicide can be the result of this breakdown. We can end up feeling trapped and powerless. While we are in this avoidance state, our real potential for healing and growing is obscured from us. Also, the mental conditioning that is causing the self-defeating mind states can be buried so deeply in our unconscious mind that it leads therapists who are trying to treat us to think that there is something physically or genetically wrong with us. This was the nature of my depression. Fortunately, I found a mind healing process that enabled me to effectively, safely, and compassionately connect to my mind in the process of caring for it. And in time, all was revealed. The process that I first used was the 12-step program that was developed by Alcoholics Anonymous in the 1930s, but has since been adapted for use in many areas of mental emotional healing. It is not specifically designed for depression, but I was able to adapt it for that purpose while I attended the weekly groups. The 5-step process that I developed as a therapy and self-awareness process after I finished my first stint at university was largely created out of my experiences of overcoming depression but also the PTSD. So let's have a look at some of the common scenarios that can lead to depression. And while I am describing these examples, it is essential to understand that the emotional challenges and life circumstances in every one of these scenarios can be overcome. And in the process, we can gain a new level of awareness and resilience. A woman suddenly loses her loving husband to disease or accident. She may have devoted most of her life to caring for him and being his devoted and loving wife. Her identity and worth as a person over the years has become deeply conditioned to and dependent on this very fulfilling relationship. Now that he is gone, she is at a loss to know how to define herself and find meaning in life. And of course the same can go for a husband who has lost his wife. A similar scenario is when the children leave home. She struggles to define herself beyond her role as a mother. Another situation is finding herself trapped in a life of responsibilities, work, children, endless chores, and a husband who she hardly connects to, because he is always at work or when at home is asleep in front of the TV. When she tries to talk about it, they only seem to argue. She feels helpless and desperate, like she has missed her opportunity to have a good life. A man has worked long and hard all his married life to build a material dream for his wife and children. He has successfully established himself and his family in a good house, in a good neighborhood, only to find his marriage has fallen apart. He had devoted so much of himself to his work that he was not in touch with the problems in his marriage. His wife has left and taken the children and is now filing for divorce. All that he worked for has gone, along with his meaning in life. A man in his mid-50s, who has worked happily for many years in the one job, may find himself suddenly made redundant due to technological changes. His skills, once important, may now not be sought after, and his age makes it doubly difficult to find work, and he does not feel capable of retraining. His job loss may come at a time when he was starting to build up resources for retirement and support his children with their higher education. All this is now put into jeopardy. His identity and self-worth as a man and provider is now shattered, and he struggles to find a way out. A similar dilemma may confront a farmer who is faced with the foreclosure of his farm. He comes from a family who have always been farming, and he knows no other life. His whole identity, his worth, is tied up in his farm. He cannot see a life beyond farming. He feels like a failure and feels lost and worthless. A man embarks on a career in the armed forces, full of ideals and a dedication to serve, only to find himself in repeated situations that compromise his values in a war-torn foreign country where the lines between enemy and ally are blurred. By the time he returns home, he feels that he has failed in his duty and has deeply compromised his values as a person and is overcome with shame and self-condemnation. He hates the person he experienced himself to be in that environment and ruminates over the inhumane things he found himself doing there. He feels ashamed around his family and friends and doesn't know how to go on. A young man may have suffered a difficult childhood due to a breakdown in his parents' marriage or a lack of connection with his parents due to their personal struggles. he may have been unavoidably caught up in their emotional difficulties. As a result, he is plagued with self-worth issues, which affects his performance at school and his ability to socialize. He is feeling marginalized from the mainstream and drops out of school. He doesn't feel confident in himself to catch up on his education, and he is too out of touch with himself to know what he wants to do. He has lost too much trust in people to reach out for help. He feels deprived from the good things in life that normal people take for granted. He feels hopeless, helpless, and angry. A young woman has suffered in childhood due to having preoccupied or overbearing parents who she can't emotionally connect to. At one point in her childhood, she is sexually abused by someone close to the family, but didn't reach out for help because she couldn't trust that they would be there for her or even believe her. She feels she has no one she can reach out to. The experience is buried in her mind and forgotten about, but her feelings of abandonment, shame, and worthlessness pervade her mind. By the time she reaches young adulthood, she is caught up in self-abuse and destructive relationships. She knows she keeps harming herself, but she doesn't know why, and she can't seem to stop herself. She doesn't see any point in continuing to live. Another woman may have had a similar background, but her debilitating depression does not start until the birth of her first child. The enormous responsibility of having a child and the need to be that total source of love that that child needs opens up a deep well of self-doubt and an emptiness inside her that she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand why she feels no love for her child and feels like a bad person, like a failure. When we are suffering depression, our motivation to help ourselves and our ability to think positively and constructively tends to be severely depleted. We tend to feel helpless and hopeless in the face of our relentlessly oppressive mind states and exist in a state of quiet desperation. When help is offered, our urgent need to get rid of the depression causes us to grasp at quick fix solutions that only offer partial relief, if at all. If we embark on more in-depth therapy, we tend to give up easily, because we have unrealistic expectations about what it takes to heal and how to effectively approach that healing process. Understandably, we just want to get away from the depression, but our impatience and lack of trust undermines us. In the same way, be careful not to do the same with this podcast. It can't be said enough. Take time to listen to the whole podcast and listen to it multiple times. This is what it takes to assimilate new information, because we have to work through the fog of our deeply conditioned mind, which makes it hard to take in and understand new information. Because of these unsatisfactory quick fix treatments, we can end up losing faith that there is a solution, and we may think we have somehow been born defective. Ultimately, self-worth and feeling loved, which is really the same thing, is the determining factor, although not everyone with difficulties around self-worth will suffer from depression. Others may react in other self-defeating ways. We feel cut off from love, cut off from the world, cut off from that which fulfills us. We can feel undeserving of love, even when it is given to us. It is easy to see why we give up, but give up we must not do. As I pointed out in episode 1 of this Quest for Healing podcast series, there is always a way. We can heal our mind and change our life, no matter how hopeless it may seem at first. The way to do this healing and awakening is well known and has been practiced throughout the ages and has been thoroughly studied over the past 200 years, drawing on the experiences and teachings from many cultures going back 3,000 to 5,000 years. The biggest challenge, however, to embarking on this healing path and sticking to it no matter what, is our lack of faith that such a path exists. Throughout the ages, this challenge has always been the threshold we must cross. We lack faith because we haven't experienced the solution, and just approaching it intellectually does not get us that necessary experience, that necessary depth, which is why so many therapists are not able to grasp the deeper, more fundamental reality of the healing process. Many mental health and medical practitioners tell us that our problem is physiological, or physical in other words, and prescribe drugs that have problematic side effects as though we are powerless over our own minds, which is simply wrong. They simply have not been faced with and negotiated their own in-depth healing and awakening journey, and in the process discover the potential of their own conscious awareness, which you can only truly know by experiencing it. For those of us who suffer depression, gaining a faith in the necessary healing process can be difficult. If you are currently on antidepressant medication, that is not a problem. They can be a support in the beginning stages of your healing journey, but understand they are not the cure. I am not advising you to stop taking them, but when you stick with this healing process, you will inevitably outgrow them. You will simply come to know that you don't need them anymore. By the time I went to university to study psychology, I had already overcome my depression and turned around many of my self-defeating mindsets that led me to place self-defeating and self-attacking meanings onto the difficult challenges that we all face as part of life. In fact, the negative meanings that my mind used to place on these circumstances is what made them seem so difficult and even insurmountable. By the time I went to university, I already had a solid understanding of the fundamental principles or physics of healing the mind, and a profound experience of the transformational effect living these principles can have. While studying mainstream psychology, I could see that this fundamental process was there, but it was not clearly defined or understood or adequately revealed in scientific research due to inadequate theories and experimental methodology. And healing the mind was made to look far more complicated than what it is, and so many of the therapeutic approaches lacked real depth. Unfortunately, because mainstream psychology and psychiatry makes itself out to be the only valid source of information in this field, we are all too often led to believe that healing the mind is a mystery or even not possible. This is simply not the case. Over the years, I have observed that depression is more likely to occur to those who have a more deeply feeling nature. I am a thinker, but I am also a sensitive feeling person. This does not make your feeling nature wrong or defective, but it does mean that we want to please others and be liked. We want life to be like a group hug. So when others are upset or things don't go right, we tend to take that into ourselves and judge ourselves for not supposedly getting things right. We are harder on ourselves than we are with others. If you are a strong will character type, you are far less likely to be prone to depression. You will likely be more hard on others than yourself. Ultimately, it is not our emotions that are the problem. It is the ways that we think, which are often embedded into our unconscious conditioning. The emotion is the result of the thought. I will talk more about that shortly. As soon as I committed to accepting myself unconditionally, my thinking began to align itself to self-care, self-compassion, self-love, in other words. Therefore, my emotions began to increasingly feel lighter. So the obvious question is how to build a self-accepting, self-worth foundation that won't get lost, that will stay strong in the face of any of life's circumstances and conditions. As a part of my studies and my journeys in life, I have spoken to and interacted with many people who have the ability to be resilient and positive, no matter what the circumstances and conditions, even when they are harmed by others or when they make a serious mistake themselves. Often these people don't actually know why they are resilient, because they have always had this ability as part of their lifelong conditioning. But knowing the dynamics of resilience, I could identify how they manage to approach life in this empowered way. But then others, who I have interviewed or had the good fortune to have as mentors, built that resilience into their own minds by determined conscious learning, healing and growing. So what is their secret? Their secret is a fundamental, unconditional level of self-acceptance. Unconditional self-acceptance is the first step in my 5-step therapeutic and self-awareness process. Why is unconditional self-acceptance so important? It is so important because it is basically the opposite to all the mindsets that are causing us to feel depressed. Now think about that for a moment. Unconditional self-acceptance is the opposite to all the mindsets that are causing us to feel depressed. This is a self-acceptance we may even see as radical, as unrealistic, but only because we have become so deeply normalized into our lack of self-acceptance. My self-judgments were so deeply buried in my unconscious mind that I didn't even know I was continually attacking myself. All I knew is that I just suddenly felt so hopeless, and that hopelessness wouldn't lift. We have normalized the belief that we have to live up to some arbitrary set of standards before we can deem ourselves to be worthy. We have normalized our ongoing self-criticism to such an extent that we are not aware of what we are doing to ourselves, not realizing that these unconscious mindsets are like having a house that is riddled with termites and therefore buckles in the face of strong winds. It's like we are living in a house where people are constantly putting us down. This house is our own mind. Some may say that unconditional self-acceptance is just being self-indulgent, but genuinely positive and resilient people also have a deep commitment to personal responsibility, which is the second step in my 5-step process. They don't get caught up with blaming others when things don't go their way, but they don't blame themselves either. They accept their right to be human, that being human is a reality of existing in this world. The perceptions we have around personal responsibility are often distorted by the belief that we must get things right, and if we don't, we should be judged, or that we should judge ourselves, and that we have to impose shoulds and shouldn'ts on ourselves. It is essential to understand that this is not what personal responsibility is about. This approach to life is self-defeating. Unconditional self-acceptance ensures that you take full ownership of your mind in a way that accepts that you are human and factors in that you are going to learn things by trial and error, even when it comes to overcoming self-defeating mindsets. Therefore, resilient people see difficult situations and personal mistakes as opportunities to learn about life, about themselves, and about how to better care for themselves in a way that is also positive and constructive for those around them. This is how genuine personal responsibility works when aligned to unconditional self-acceptance and acceptance in general. That doesn't mean that these resilient people never get rattled. I can have my moments of being upset, but the resilience I have built into my mind now means that self-defeating thinking is blindly obvious to my awareness, and the choice to suffer or not suffer is very clear and within my grasp in that moment or very soon after that moment. Now, when I catch myself getting angry or reacting in some other unconstructive way, I can quickly make a better choice and even have a laugh at myself. My relationship with myself is one where I take full responsibility for all that I think, therefore feel, say and do, but I also accept that I am human, that I am always learning and growing, so my relationship with myself is also very compassionate, such is the power of personal responsibility combined with unconditional self-acceptance. Therefore, because of the fundamental level of self-acceptance that resilient people have, they are able to face life and also face themselves head-on without being undermined by the judgments from others or their own conscious or unconscious self-judgments. Instead of being their own inner critic, they are instead their own positive inner mentor. That is why all those experiences that result in depression that I described earlier will not defeat them, because no matter what the circumstances or conditions, they do not conclude that they are a failure. They do not conclude that they are unworthy. They do not conclude that they have been cast out of life in any way, because they are in genuine control of their own worthiness. As a result, their ongoing responses to the circumstances and conditions of life will be constructive and empowered, and they will always find a way through while growing stronger and more aware in the process. This is what you will also do, so long as you don't give up, so long as you keep being open to learn. It is not about getting it right, it is about having a go, learning from the experience and then having another go and so on throughout your life. As I mentioned earlier, what unconditional self-acceptance does is remove all the shoulds and shouldn'ts that we have imposed on ourselves. I should be free of my depression by now. I should have got that right, or I shouldn't have got that wrong, or life shouldn't have turned out that way. Again, this is doing personal responsibility in the wrong way. This is personal oppression, not personal responsibility. We are learning to accept ourselves as we are, unconditionally, and we are also learning to accept life as it is, realizing that we can only work with what is now and where we are in our own mind and circumstances now. Every day is a new opportunity to be kind to yourself, to become more aware of your self-defeating mindsets and practice not giving yourself to those negative mindsets, but instead continually coming back to unconditional self-acceptance. When I began my healing process, just managing to wash the dishes that day was a good achievement. It was a step forward. It was something to build on. All that we are talking about in this process is concerning step three of the five-step process, let go and tune in. You are letting go of judging and blaming yourself and others, and you are letting go of trying to control things that you can't actually control. Hanging on to this stuff just keeps your suffering on a loop. Instead, you get on with tuning into your own mind, the real source of your suffering, with unconditional self-acceptance, which will enable you to have real compassion for your confused and vulnerable mind. Letting go and seeing your own mind as the source of your suffering can be hard to accept at first, but as I have pointed out, it actually simplifies things greatly. You stop wasting your time trying to control things in the world that are beyond your control. The real source of your problem is right in front of you every day, there for you to take care of every day. You did not condition yourself. Your environment that you grew up in did that, but once you awaken your awareness, you become your most important environmental influence. This is what resilient people have. They are in the driver's seat of their own minds, regardless of what their conditioning has been. They accept it and own it. Accepting full ownership of your mind will therefore also show you that you are the ultimate solution to your own suffering. Personal responsibility aligned to unconditional self-acceptance is ultimately empowering. So let's look at how you can overcome depression by using the five-step process for healing, wisdom, and empowerment. I will also show you how to sustain the motivation to keep on with your mind healing process to where you experience yourself breaking through your depression, to where you know how to keep breaking through until it is gone for good. You start the process with steps 1 and 2. You do this by totally committing to accepting yourself unconditionally. Therefore, from this day forward, make a rock-solid commitment to accept yourself unconditionally, while also accepting that it is your own mind that is causing you to suffer. So you are also committing to take full ownership of your mind as your mind's own loving and caring parent, which means letting go of blaming life or other people for your suffering and letting go of judging yourself for being human. No matter how entrenched your mind seems to be in its depressive self-attacking thinking, your commitment is to keep coming back to unconditional self-acceptance over and over again, and never give up doing this. It does not matter how many times you forget or get defeated by your confused mind and fall back into depression. Your total commitment means that as soon as you realize that you are falling back into your confused mind, you do your best, whatever that is on the day, to reset yourself with unconditional self-acceptance and recommit to your process again and again, no matter what. The more you do this, the more you will become unconditional self-acceptance to yourself. Why? Simply because it works, and because it is your actual potential. Acceptance, compassion, kindness, love, in other words, is who you really are. Your mind just got cluttered up with the wrong stuff. You are not that negative self-defeating stuff. It is the giving up, thinking that it is hopeless, thinking that we are somehow defective, that defeats us. The more you keep giving yourself unconditional self-acceptance, no matter what, the more you will understand what that is, the more you will get used to being this for yourself. The more you will experience the difference it will make for you and for your life, and the more your mind will start being reconditioned by this new, ongoing, positive experience that you are learning to give it. You will come to see increasingly clearly that people, places, and things are only triggering your self-defeating mindsets. They are not the cause. The cause is the old wrong thought habits that are cluttering up your conscious and unconscious mind. Understand that every moment, no matter what is happening in that moment, is now an opportunity to be the loving parent to your mind. Remember, it's not about getting it right. It's about having a go over and over. Your self-defeating mindsets are the cause of your depression, your suffering, not the circumstances and conditions of your life. Of course, you need to use some common sense here. If you are in a situation that is physically or mentally emotionally dangerous, such as an abusive relationship or even a toxic workplace, it is essential that you do what you need to do to remove yourself from that toxic situation. That is part of accepting yourself and being responsible for yourself. You cannot effectively heal and grow in that sort of destructive environment. No one can do that. On the other hand, if it is not too bad, you can use the triggering circumstances as an opportunity to practice self-acceptance and grow more resilient and empowered in that environment, which often makes such a difference to your experience of that environment. I did a lot of my personal growth while being a tradesman in the rough and tumble male-dominated environment of a workshop, before finally becoming a therapist. When I started my trade, it was like some of the guys got a bonus every week just to give me a hard time. Over time, however, as I was practicing unconditional self-acceptance, I discovered that how they treated me depended so much on how I reacted to them. As my awareness grew, I increasingly stopped taking what they said to me personally because I was taking increasing ownership of my own worth. The hurtful barbs became just silly workshop banter to me. I found myself having fun with the other guys, rather than feeling that I was being made fun of. By the time I finished that career, I was rarely given a hard time, simply because I was known as someone who could handle himself, and if I was hassled by someone, I knew how to deal with it in an assertive but respectful way. If having done your best to learn and grow and approach your circumstance or relationship positively, but the other people involved remain negative and hostile, then you will have more clarity as to why it's time to go. And in the process, you will be more aware and empowered and ready to make a new life for yourself. By using this process, you can make your circumstances work for you. This is an example of the resilience that you will gain from accepting yourself unconditionally and taking responsible care of yourself. While I was learning to look after myself, my mind, in this way, I made countless mistakes, and so will you. Now mistakes are just useful experiences to learn from. You will fall back into depression. You will react and act out in self-defeating ways. But you can reset, recommit, and restart again and again by returning to unconditional self-acceptance relentlessly. You will learn all you can about unconditional self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-care, because you are determined to succeed, and succeed you will. Every day you will accept your right to be human, to learn by trial and error, because you damn well deserve to be in this world, living the life that you want to live, and even having to learn what that is okay. It is about learning that your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship you will have, because your whole life is a reflection of this and depends on this. You are learning to be the loving guardian of your own human self. You are your most important source of love and care. It does not matter if you can't imagine yourself being that for yourself right now. No matter what, commit yourself to unconditional self-acceptance and keep learning. Inevitably, you will discover and experience that unconditional self-acceptance is the doorway into unconditional love, and unconditional love is a power that has no limits. You, as the growing, evolving, conscious, aware guardian, loving parent, mentor of your own human self, will be an increasingly healthy environment that you are living in 24/7. Your mind has no choice but to come on board with that, no matter how much it may resist at first. You are learning to no longer judge yourself for being the cause of your own suffering. Instead, your commitment to yourself is to accept that you are human, that you have a fundamental right to be human. It is not your fault that you have these mindsets. It is not your fault that your confusion led you to be exposed to and caught up in negative situations. While growing up, you were doing your best to get by in the environment that you grew up in, and throughout your adult years, you were doing the best you could with the awareness that you had. But now you have the opportunity to gain new awareness and learn a new way, which you can and will do by approaching this challenge of depression in a step-by-step way that works. You are learning that you can be the one who owns your mind, rather than your mind stuck in its confusion owning you. You are therefore also putting genuine faith in these principles by never giving up, which will ensure that you will inevitably succeed. So step 1 and 2, self-acceptance and accepting full ownership of your mind, is what wakes up your ego, that is controlled by your confused mind, and transforms it into conscious awareness. You therefore become conscious awareness, the guardian of your mind. Part of the acceptance process is accepting that you are not going to be very good at this at first. If becoming truly aware was that easy, it wouldn't be an issue. Whenever things get hard, depression is often telling us and making us feel that it is all hopeless, and it tells us to just give up. It does this because it doesn't have enough tools in its toolbox and assumes that there are no other tools. You must give yourself the chance and the right to learn, how to master your mind, and to put your doubts aside and accept that you can learn. No matter how many times depression pulls you back, reset, recommit, restart. In other words, reset by aligning yourself once again to unconditional self-acceptance. Recommit by accepting full responsibility to be unconditional acceptance for yourself. And restart by getting on with living these principles again in your everyday life. When you make the unrelenting commitment to accept yourself unconditionally and take full ownership of your mind over and over again, you will be awakening your potential of awareness, your ability to observe yourself from a new perspective, and you will also be awakening your ability to act on yourself from that new perspective. You will be increasingly observing yourself from the new and empowered perspective of these foundational life-enhancing principles, which will make you so much more aware of when you are falling into self-judgment and self-defeating thinking in general. This does not mean that you will necessarily know what to do with your negative thinking in the moment, whenever you find yourself being more aware of it. The first stage of changing something is first being aware of it. So at first, there will be some discomfort in watching yourself shoot yourself in the foot with your negative thinking without actually being able to stop yourself from shooting yourself in the foot in that moment. You can be easily tempted to judge yourself here. Here, the practice of unconditional self-acceptance is vitally important. Unconditional self-acceptance gives you the power to keep on going. Whenever you fall into judging yourself for your mistakes, you shut down your heart, which is the same as shutting down your awareness, and you block the process of learning how to do something different, and as a result, depression kicks in again. However, with your growing awareness, you will come to see that depression means that you are beating yourself up again, and that you have a choice. Then it's back to the three R's: reset, recommit, restart the healing process and start moving forward again, learning something more from the experience of being caught in depression again, as we are bound to do when we are working our way to being free of depression. So when you get back to self-acceptance, you can get back to the process of learning and growing. Here is the key to resilience. Here is the key to reprogramming your mind in a way that is going to enhance your life. Your mind then becomes your support person, not the one that's getting in the way. The first stage of changing a negative mindset is to become very aware of it, like I said. While building this important awareness, you will notice that some mindsets are easy to change. As soon as you become more aware of it, an alternative way to think and act feels and appears obvious, and the old mindset easily gives way to the new. However, you will also encounter mindsets that are much, much deeper, more complex and more resistant to change. They will just keep fogging up your awareness. This you must also accept. With such mindsets, you must let go of expectations of how long it will take to overcome them. The deeper and more resistant the mindset, the more layers it will have, but also the more it is going to teach you. Never think that you can't do it. If an issue keeps confronting you, then life is telling you that you have more to learn about that. Life is actually doing you a favor by giving you another opportunity to learn and grow more deeply. Life is not telling you that you have failed. You will have to face that lesson many times because the mindset is very deep and dense and complex, and you will have to approach it many times to work through it, one layer at a time. Accept the lesson, no matter how many times you have to repeat it. Each time you face it and do your best to process it, you are moving ahead in your journey, even if it doesn't feel like it at times. As I was learning to live this process, my ability to function in my daily life increased accordingly. However, when I tried to really extend myself and things didn't go according to my expectations, I would again be overcome with depression. Over time, I learned to use these experiences to face and delve deeper into the depression mindsets until finally my unconditional self-acceptance went so deep that the depression just fell away, dissolved. There was nothing left holding it in place. I can have difficult challenges today that can trigger the old depressive thoughts, but my awareness is so strong. Self-acceptance and self-care is the new habit. Beating myself up or thinking I'm a victim just doesn't make sense anymore. I have been free from depression for well over 30 years now. Learning and growing is not always obvious, but then at some point you realize how far you have come. You realize that you are managing challenges now that would have defeated you in the past. So when your mind tells you that you are a victim, it is saying you are not capable of having control over your own mind, therefore your life. You may be faced with challenges that you don't know how to deal with right now, but you can learn how to deal with them by learning how to care for and mentor your own mind, which then gives you the skills to more effectively manage the situation. Therefore, growing your awareness must represent an open-ended commitment to yourself and to your life. That is what the fifth step of the process is highlighting when it says, live the process as your way of life. With awareness, there is no are we there yet, because there is always something to learn. You must have a new awareness before you can have a new mindset, and that new mindset must become strong enough for you to consistently take a new action. It is also important to understand that with each new level of awareness gained, the greater access you will have to your natural potential, which your negative conditioning had previously obscured. Awareness is your power to manage your life in the present moment. Awareness is always now. Awareness works with short-term memory and is therefore flexible and adaptable. That's why you get things with your awareness, even while your mind stays stuck in its old conditioning. It is up to you as awareness to then teach your old mind new tricks. Relentless persistence does this. Our mind is long-term memory, hence our conditioning and our tendency to get lost in and triggered by past memories. Also, this more primal level of the mind can't get above itself. All it can do is just keep obeying its established programs. It will try to hang on to a program that is telling you to hate yourself in the same way that it hangs on to a program that enables you to walk and talk. It does not know the difference, because it has recorded its conditioning indiscriminately according to the ongoing environmental influences that you were living in at the time. Also, from the ages of 1 to 10, you had few filters, and your primal mind just wanted to assimilate itself to the world it was in order to survive according to what the other people were doing then. With the power of unconditional self-acceptance and taking full ownership of your mind in the form of personal responsibility, you as awareness are now taking the position of being your own most influential environment. You are now learning to be your own loving parent, your own wise guardian. So now let's look at the vital role feelings have in your healing process, and how your feelings guide you in your healing process. Being aware means being able to feel and observe your emotions and feelings that in turn reveal to you what your mind is thinking, negative or positive, conscious or unconscious. This is the tuning in part of step 3, let go and tune in. Emotions and feelings are the frequency of your thoughts. Observing and staying present with your painful emotions ongoing enables you to become aware of the thought structures, or mindsets in other words, that are causing the painful emotions. You can even gain awareness of habitual thoughts that have been buried deep in your unconscious mind and previously lost to your awareness, which most of my self-attacking thoughts were. Your ongoing commitment to and practice of unconditional self-acceptance, along with deep, slow, mindful breathing, will enable you to disengage and bypass the fight-or-flight reactions that would normally cause you to push away the painful emotions or get lost in them, therefore preventing you from gaining awareness of the self-defeating mindsets that cause the suffering. As you continue your practice of unconditional self-acceptance, you will be increasingly identifying with this new life-enhancing perspective, because you will be experiencing how good it feels. When you face your emotional pain with unconditional self-acceptance, your emotional pain starts to lose a lot of its intensity because you can increasingly see the self-judging thoughts that are driving the emotional pain, but you are no longer believing that those thoughts are true. This is the letting go part of step three. We are letting go of judging ourselves or others and trying to control things we have no real control over. As a result, these painful thoughts won't have the same impact on you. Furthermore, through the power of unconditional self-acceptance, you will increasingly identify those negative thoughts and resultant pain as your past vulnerable child, adolescent, or inexperienced adult self, and therefore increasingly feel compassion toward your own reacting humanness, who is in need of your help. This is your growing ability to tune into yourself, like a loving parent, who is mindful of staying in touch with your vulnerable child. You are becoming the loving guardian of your human self. You, as conscious awareness, and your human self are becoming companions, going everywhere together while you are holding your human self by the hand. You no longer need to push your vulnerabilities away for fear of the pain they cause. When your vulnerable human self gets triggered, you are more often going to be open to yourself, tuning into yourself, there to listen to yourself, to feel yourself and be with yourself with acceptance and compassion, enabling you to do what you need to do to process any confusion that is causing emotional pain in that moment or sometime after the reaction. Here is revealed perhaps the greatest potential for mental emotional healing, and why step three, let go, tune in, is the most important and transformative step. Your ultimate healing power is your ability to be with your painful, vulnerable emotions, with your accepting, compassionate, loving heart open. Here is perhaps the most important information I give to people. As always, perfection is not required. The power is in having a go and keep persisting and learning, even if you don't feel that connection at first. Any caring thing that you do for yourself is making a difference, and you are working towards making this all-important heartfelt connection to yourself. Your ability to be with your vulnerable human self with your heart open will naturally grow. So imagine yourself as the parent of a sad, upset child. The child might be angry and reactive at first, but the more you patiently stay present as that loving parent, not to make the vulnerability and pain go away, as though your child being upset is an inconvenience, but there to hold the presence of love for as long as it takes to enable your child to feel safe and connected to you once again. Actually, you will find that this becomes the quickest way, because the love that you are literally being for yourself will be increasingly unconditional, which is the ultimate form of love. You, as conscious awareness, will be in that moment the ultimate alchemical force that can transmute the most intense confusion and emotional pain. You will be that loving presence that your human self has longed to feel and be embraced by all your life. Any persistent steps in this direction are going to make a positive difference to your life. At first, you are unlikely to be able to be there for yourself in this way in the moment, but because of your growing mindfulness, you will be able to get back to unconditional self-acceptance sooner than before. It is then that you make time to sit down with yourself to tune in and process what was happening in your mind. Eventually, you will start to pick up your mind's fear-based reactions more in the moment, and be able to process them before you react, but not always. There will always be something new that will catch you off guard, but that's okay. It just becomes another opportunity to learn and grow and love yourself more. This is just normal everyday life. In terms of how to process your thoughts and emotions, journaling, meditating, and talking your thoughts and feelings out with an experienced counselor or mentor who has also faced themselves and worked through their own process is a very important part of your step 3 work. An experienced counselor, therapist, mentor can also guide you in the process of staying present with your vulnerable thoughts and emotions with your heart open. It can take time and a few false starts perhaps to find the right guides. As always, don't give up. The people who can support you are out there, and you will find them so long as you stay open and keep looking. Today we have video calls available, so it is possible to find guides who may live in another state or even country. Support groups can also be found, where acceptance and support can be given by people who are also on this healing journey. Journaling is a very important part of your step 3 process because it enables you to embrace your mind into the realm of your awareness in the present moment, where you can engage your mind as its aware parent and mentor. Be aware that it can take time to build the necessary commitment to journaling and learn to use it effectively. Understand that your mind is unlikely to be motivated to journal at first because journaling is unlikely to be already in your conditioning. That commitment must come from you as conscious awareness, like the parent who is committed to do what it takes to look after your child, even when you don't feel like it, because you are aware of your role in positively conditioning your child for the sake of their entire life. In time, the benefits of journaling are self-motivating. When you are journaling, you are lifting your mind into now, into the domain of your conscious awareness, where you can write out your raw and often confused thoughts and emotions with acceptance and compassion, and then work with learning how to be your own loving parent and mentor. You can also write out what you have learned about the process as a way to deepen your understanding and much more. Journaling becomes a treasured part of your loving relationship with yourself. To learn more about journaling and how to work with your healing process, go to episodes 4, 6 and 7 of my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series. Episode 4 being Overcome Negative Self-Talk, episode 6 being The Heart of Mindfulness, and episode 7 being The Heart of Meditation. There is also my book, 5 Steps to Freedom, that the 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series is based on. My book provides extensive guidance for your journaling. You are also welcome to contact me via my email and we can arrange to talk. I'm here to support you in any way I can. Just go to my website for the book. So let's have a closer look at the importance of learning by trial and error as you move forward in your process. Every human being on the face of this planet learns by trial and error. If you are beating yourself up when you make mistakes, instead of that being a learning opportunity, you will be pulling yourself down, getting stuck in avoidance, projecting blame onto others, and creating conflict and inevitably falling into depression because you will be deeming yourself unworthy for not living up to some arbitrary standard. If you are thinking life is against you, if something doesn't go your way, then you are rendering yourself powerless to learn to manage your life better in the face of life's ups and downs. You will also be doing what so many other people are doing, which is why there is so much suffering in the world. This is the dilemma of being human, but you don't have to be a part of that suffering. As conscious awareness, empowered by taking full ownership of your mind with unconditional self-acceptance, you are accessing a potential you perhaps never knew you had, because your conditioning has obscured your potential from your awareness. You are learning that you can be and are the conscious, capable and informed manager of your mind, your body, your human self, in other words. The fact that you can observe yourself and act on yourself means that you are more than this self that you are observing and acting on. The reality of the greater power of this potential of conscious awareness has been clearly demonstrated throughout the ages and now thoroughly studied. Identifying and activating your power to transform your life explores the nature of this ultimate potential that you have, that enables you to rise above your mind and from there embrace your mind into yourself as awareness. Through this ongoing process of allowing yourself to learn to be conscious awareness through trial and error, you are also training your mind to be your support person in your journey of life. This is what step 4, Live in the Now, is about. It is the step where, on the strength of your step 3 healing process, you are learning to be the ongoing conscious creator of the life that you actually want. Your mind operates on a more primal and limited consciousness than your potential of conscious awareness. Conscious awareness, before being properly activated by this process, is limited to being mere ego. Ego is your potential of conscious awareness, but it's enclosed within and blindly serving your mind's conditioning. Ego is trying to manage your life, but it is only as functional as your conditioning is. However, awareness is a power unto itself, independent of the mind and body, which is why we can take command of our mind with our awareness once the real potential of awareness is activated. As I've stressed, there is no perfection in this process. The power is in the commitment and the persistence. Any attempt at self-care is making a difference, even if you don't feel it at first. At first, your emotions tend to be controlled by the old conditioning until cracks in that conditioning start to appear through your persistent efforts. At first, the depression may seem like it is not going to lift, no matter what you do, making it hard to persist with the process, leading you to lose faith and give up. Unconditional self-acceptance is an essential quality of love. It is the key that opens your heart to yourself and to the power of unconditional love. Unconditional love is what we craved as a child, and for good reason. Raising a child in an environment that has an abundance of unconditional love and wise mentoring that is guided by that love means that child is going to grow up happy and resilient, because all the while the child's awareness, ego awareness, is being trained to take loving care of his or her own mind. Unfortunately, not nearly enough of us have been given such a gift. Nevertheless, what we do have is that same potential to be our own loving and wise parent, and we know how to awaken, activate, and empower that potential. So step 3, let go and tune in, is the step where you stop and embrace your human self and give quality time to being with yourself. When it comes to turning your life around, this is the most important step. Here you connect to and listen to yourself by paying attention to your self-talk and your emotions and feelings. It is where you learn to proactively love, nurture, and heal yourself. It is where you build and maintain your conscious relationship with yourself, which is your life's foundation. Your relationship with yourself will become your most profound and sacred relationship. Step 3 is about getting into the driver's seat of your mind and making that your normal place to be. Step 4, live in the now, is about creating your life from the basis of your new, growing, self-empowering awareness. While in the driver's seat, with step 4, you can effectively steer your life in the right direction. When you run into difficulties, you can pull over, focus on step 3 again, and process what you are experiencing, which then puts you even more securely in the driver's seat to continue your step 4 work. Therefore, stepping further into your power and further out into the world will inevitably reveal more fears, insecurities, confusions to process with step 3, which then further empowers step 4. They are complementary steps, like being the mother and father of your mind while building your life. Steps 1 and 2 inform and make possible steps 3 and 4, and enable step 3 and 4 to keep expanding in depth and power. Step 5 says live this process as your way of life. This will give you the greatest power to live your life to your highest potential. Therefore, you will always be in the position to reset your awareness to unconditional self-acceptance, recommit to being your own loving guardian of your own human self, and restart your healing, awakening, and learning and growing process. Be your own forever loving and compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart. So that concludes this episode. Please do yourself a favor and listen to and put into practice, in particular episodes 1, 4, 6 and 7 from my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series. Episode 1 will give you a thorough overview of the 5-step process. And also, get into the previous episodes of my Quest for Healing podcast series. They have very important information that will also help you. And subscribe to my podcast channel to get easy access to all my podcasts, including new ones. Also, feel free to contact me if you have any questions or have any feedback. I'm here for you, wherever you may be. And finally, a very special thanks to Sacred Earth for giving me permission to feature their beautiful music on this podcast. I now use their music exclusively in my podcasts. You will find their website link within the written blurb accompanying this podcast. Thank you.